Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. In this 21st message, Pastor John had an outline prepared, but only got halfway through it as the Holy Spirit had him detail the persecutions of Christians in Jerusalem and compare it with previous persecutions in the history of the nation of Israel. Great emphasis was spent on the fact that God had repeatedly warned his people there would be severe judgment if they rebelled. Then the Holy Spirit spoke about the impending full-force judgment on the United States. We have already seen a number of limited judgments on our land, and unless people in America repent and turn to God, there will be a full judgment and many will die without Christ. This is a message no one can walk away from without repentance or a hardening of the heart. It is entitled Part 21, Persecution. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, April 27, 2008. And today, I'm going to be preaching on the subject, persecution. But before I pray, I want to share some things. 1 year ago, just about, we proclaimed a prayer and fasting. I want to share with you that next weekend is the last weekend of our commitment for 1 year. And I want to share some things with you here, and I want to read what we covenanted to a year ago. Pastor John S. Terrell and the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is calling upon all the people attending the church and those affiliated with our worldwide outreach through European American Evangelist Crusades to join us in a prayer and fasting period for the next 12 months. We're asking God for the following. 1, break the strongholds of Satan. 2, bring salvation to millions of people. 3, turn around the backsliders. 4, set free the demon oppressed. 5, heal those who are sick. 6, send people to our church. 7, increase the Bible study groups around the world who are using our material. And last, strengthen the finances of the ministry so that we can do more outreach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our fasting and prayer will begin on May 12, 2007 and run for the next 12 months. This water fasting will begin each Saturday at 2 p.m. for 1,400 hours and end at 2 p.m. Sunday. And people living in different parts of the world would follow the time zones they are in. I want to thank the people in this church who stayed with us for 12 months and were faithful and prayed and fasted every Saturday through Sunday. And also all the people around the world that stood with us in this endeavor. Next weekend is the last weekend we will have this, and then it is up to each individual if you want to continue or not. Personally, I feel this after doing this for 1 year. I feel very good. It's discipline. I get 1 day in a week of fasting, so I'm just going to stay on it. And there were some other people that said likewise. The question is not how much has happened during this time, but I believe we have broken some of the strongholds of Satan. We have seen God move in many families and given us a lot of different victories. We have had a number of deliverances, and I want to share something with you here today and also people listening to me worldwide. We've had a number of people come in, let's say the last 4 or 5 years, to be delivered. And the most of these people were very destroyed spiritually and emotionally. They were rejected. They had all kind of issues. And they had very low self-esteem. They did not love themselves. And it was not until I listened to a sermon today by Charles Stanley on rejection that I realized why we were not able to maintain some of these people in this church in our fellowship. These people came either from a broken home. They have been divorced a few times. And the main thing was rejection. They had been rejected since the day they were little children, some from the womb of their mother. As we took them through deliverance and we began to work with them, they could not handle being loved, of receiving acceptance. And so they were very, very uncomfortable. And we did not address that. I simply thought, you know what, eventually they would begin to feel good. But then I realized that someone who has been rejected all their lives, it is a lifestyle. You don't know what to do if you're not rejected. You can't function. You got to have at least one conflict a day, at least one good slugfest a day. And so this is something that we need to address in the future. And we have seen this time and time again, that people simply get overwhelmed, they back off, they take off, they can't handle it, because they are used to always being rejected, feeling rejected, being angry, and dealing with it through anger. So that's something I learned. And we just got to pray for these people that could not handle the love and the acceptance, that God will move upon them and help them where they are. So anyway, thank you very much for those of you that stayed with us for 1 year. Now we got some prayer requests here. And this lady's name is Hope. And I just read the request. Pray for Hope. Her husband divorced her against her desire. She now needs prayer for financial needs, a job to support herself, and healing both emotionally and physically. I do not know where this woman lives in the world. We're going to pray for her. Then we have another prayer request from Denise from Alabama for complete deliverance, especially from the arrested development spirit. Also, she needs a miracle in her finances. Pray that the Lord will show her what to do about the debt, that she can get on with her life and serve the Lord as she is led. So let's do this. Let's stand and let's pray for these needs right now. My Heavenly Father, we want to lift up Hope to begin with. And Father God, we do not know what part of the United States in the world where this woman lives. But Father, she was rejected by her husband. Divorce is a terrible rejection. And Father God, she's now alone, has to fend for herself. And we pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to move upon that woman, for you to wrap your arms around her and love her, strengthen her, guide her, and Father, help her to be renewed again, and to have a future. Show her that she's loved and beloved of the Father in heaven. And Lord, we pray for Denise from Alabama, coming out of a heavy Freemasonic background, and with most of the family rejecting it. And we thank you, Father God, again, another woman divorced, rejected, Arrest the development spirit. But we thank you, Lord, that you are powerful, strong, and able to deliver, to heal, and to set free. And we lift up this woman to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. And Father God, I want to lift up these men that came here. They were delivered. They testified. But Father God, they could not handle not being rejected. They couldn't handle unconditional love given to them. So Father, they sought things that they could blame the ministry for. They looked for excuses to leave. So Father God, they could go back into their caves again and go back into bondage. I pray for these men, Lord, that you will break them loose. Break them loose from the cave they're hiding in, Father God, and set them free, and help them to love themselves, and help them to be able to receive love. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and those who are great said, amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. We're going to go to our sermon right now, and I want to begin by taking you to the book of Acts, chapter 8. That's the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. And I'll read now from the outline. Stephen's death, which we discussed last week, chapter 7, broke the fear that the Jewish leadership had for the Christians. Let me again mention that to you now. Stephen's death broke the fear that the Jewish leadership had for the Christians. From the day of Pentecost, there had been daily miracles which indicated some kind of supernatural power operating among the followers of Jesus. And when the international Jews were able to kill Stephen, and there was no supernatural resistance, they became bold and drove out the entire Christian population in Jerusalem. Let's read. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. This is something that the church at that time had not expected. It came upon them suddenly. And I know the Bible teaches this, that in the future there is going to be a persecution of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see right now that the respect of unbelievers has gone. There's no respect for churches, pastors, ministers. We're being mocked at. And rightfully so, because we had a lot of sins in our churches. A lot of ministers had disgraced the name of the Lord. But this is what happened here. Then I wrote this. The Jewish leadership did not understand that God allowed this to happen, since the born-again Jews in Jerusalem were not obeying Jesus' command to spread out and preach the gospel outside Jerusalem. Quickly turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we read verses 18 through 20. This is what Jesus said. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You and I got to be very careful. If God has told us to do something specific, and we drag our feet, He will start a fire under us. He will simply make things happening where He is forcing us to go in a certain direction He wants us to go. Let me give you just a quick example to dwell on for just a few moments. In 1973, as I was finishing up at the seminary, I had a good paying job in an engineering office, civil engineering office, and I was thinking in my mind, well, I'm going to graduate. I got a few weeks before I'm supposed to go overseas with my wife and start preaching. And I simply had plans. I said, well, I'm just going to keep my job. And I'm going to, you know, be able to accumulate more money. And guess what God did? The day I graduated, we went to seminary. And we were done about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was scheduled to go back to my office because he let me work flexible hours. And I went back to my office. The boss was there, and he said, John, he said, I got some bad news for you. You're fired. My mouth dropped, and I said, what do you mean fired? I thought we had a good relationship. He said, that's not the problem. He said, Marin County has issued a total moratorium on all new construction. He said, I lost all my work. He said, I got to close this office. He says, we have no work. I drove back to the seminary, and I said, oh, my God, I guess I'm not going to be working, so I would use that time to pray, prepare myself, and get ready. And from that day on, I could never again go back to a regular job in engineering. And I knew if I tried, God would simply take the rug and pull it out from under me. So remember this. Do what you're told to do. Stay with it. If you simply disobey God, He will simply take care of you. And make sure that you're going in a direction He wants you to go. Let's talk about the province of Samaria. There's a lot of hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. If you take your outline, turn to the last page, you got a map. And on that map, you can see at the bottom we have Judea. In the middle it says Samaria. At the top it says Galilee. These were the three provinces that the Jewish people lived in at this time. There were some other Jews and some other provinces beside, but these were the three major provinces. If you look now in the middle of Samaria, you see a spot there just above Mount Gerizim, and it said Samaria. See that spot? That was the capital of Samaria. It used to be the capital of the northern tribes of Israel. So this is a region that we're talking about now, Samaria. Let's go back to page 1 now. Remember, this province with its capital Samaria was sandwiched in between Galilee to the north and Judah in the south. The people living there were descendants of the 10 northern tribes who had intermarried with Gentiles and were considered bastards by the Jews. There was a great hate on both sides. After the resurrection, Jesus told the apostles that He wanted the gospel preached in Samaria. Now, keep your fingers here. Turn back to Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. Have you read this? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said not to his apostles, you might not like the Samaritans, but this is where I want you to go. Let's be honest here today. You don't have to raise any hands, but let's be honest now. Every one of us got certain people we do not like. And it can be skin color, it can be nationality, it can be men don't like women, women don't like men. But every one of us, in our background, we have certain people that we simply do not care for. That's being honest. Now, when I was growing up, we were living in Sweden during World War II. And being a little boy, I listened to my parents and other people talking. And in our town, we had refugees from Denmark. And so I don't know how many we had, but we got maybe a few hundred, a few thousand. But we had Danish families with children. And we had those children in school. And I heard this, but my parents would say this and all this, you know, those lousy Danes, they're here to steal our work, you know, man, you know, we just can't stand those Danish people. I wish they'd go back to Denmark. Well, little me heard that. So guess what I did in school? I looked around to find some Danish children. And, you know, we used these, and we tried to teach them a little lesson, you know, that you are not very welcome in this town. Now, this is by ungodly spirit. This is not ungodly spirit. This is demonic. What did I know about Danes? Nothing. Why did they have hostility? Because I heard so. And to this day, there's been hostility between Swedes, Danes, Swedes, Norwegians, Swedes, and Finns over economic issues, languages, and so on, and to become saved, and now we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you this. How many people did Jesus die for on the cross? All people. Only any type of people, Jesus simply said, well, I don't like those guys. No. Does that give you and me an option not to love everyone? We don't have that option. Now, let me tell you this. If you want to be disciplined, this is one area that God has zero tolerance. So now, he simply said, go up to Samaria. Let's talk about Samaria now and also Israel. The judgment on Israel. When the nation of Israel divided after the death of King Solomon, 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom known as Israel. The tribes of Judah and Benjamin stayed loyal to the son of King Solomon, became the southern kingdom known as Judah. The city of Samaria was a capital for Israel, while Jerusalem was a capital for Judah. Israel was the first to be judged by God for the sin of idolatry. Originally, the province of Samaria was the center of the northern kingdom known in the Bible as Israel. And the 10 northern tribes were the first one to be judged by God for the sin of idolatry. Let's look at these verses of the Bible to see the severity of God's judgment. And keep your finger here in the book of Acts. We come back there. and turn me right now to Deuteronomy. That's Deuteronomy, and we're going to go to chapter 28. That's the fifth book of Moses, chapter 28, and you pick it up in verse 58. This is what God said concerning Israel, 12 tribes. This is before they got split. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and the long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Let's talk about America. Now, this nation, as we know it today, was founded by Christians. We had the Pilgrims, we had the Puritans, and then we had the businessmen that started Jamestown. These were ungodly people. But the Pilgrims and the Puritans, the majority of the people that came over here, left Europe to get rid of persecution, to have freedom to worship God. And if you go back in the history of the colonies, you will find that this nation was founded for Christians. It was on Christian principles. When the Constitution was written and the nation got into being, you never heard any one of the founders to say this, well, we got to write in this for the Buddhists. We got to write in this for the Hindus. We got to write this in for the Satanists. We got to write this in for all these different religious groups. It was not there. It was simply one nation under God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how this was started. That's why God blessed America as he has blessed her the first 250 years. Look back now in verse number 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God. He's saying now, if you do not fear me, worship me, watch out. England, in two centuries ago, was a hotbed of missionary work, revivals up and down in England. And in the 1800s, there were British missionaries sent out all over the world. And the British, prior to that, missionaries came to this country. Where is England today? It has lost its glory. It's overwhelmed by Muslims. Its crime is terrible. Churches are empty. And the British people are suffering. Why? Because as a nation, they rejected God. What about us? We are heading in there now. Let me tell you this. Unless we have a miracle from God, we are in for a economic meltdown. It is a matter of, it's teetering right now. I predict this. If the nation does not repent, continue the same course, we might not have one airline flying in this fall. We might not have too many trucks running this fall. Already, if you watch the railroads, The railroads right now are running more and more trains and more trucks and taking up the roads. Oil is the centerpiece of our civilization. We cannot exist without oil. Our civilization falls apart. Everything we do, energy, work, and so on, it has to have oil. If that oil is deprived from us, we can't afford it, we're going to go in a tailspin. And once a tailspin picks up speed, it'd be hard to stop it. This is a time of sorrows. Now, when the man of sin is coming, the Antichrist, why is he coming? Because he will have solutions. He will have a solution to the financial crisis. He will have the solution to unemployment. He will have a solution to the food crisis. And I predict this. Unless God holds us off, we are spiraling now into the time of the tribulation. And it will go fast. Listen to what God said to Israel. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of his law, them will the Lord bring upon you, until you be destroyed. I read a statistic some time ago, not too long ago, that about 60% of all American teenage girls, 15 years and older, have a venereal disease of some kind. 60% of all the teenage girls from 12 years up to 15. That's a big number. God said, I will send sickness. Look at the cancer rates. You go to every city and you will find that the buildings now, the construction is hospitals, more hospitals. The baby boomers are getting older. They're getting sicker. And if you look in the papers every day, you will find people in their 60s, 50s, and 40s, cancer, all kind of heart attacks and things, sickness, people are dying. God said, this is part of my judgment. Verse 62. And you should be left few in numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for the multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. What is our citizen nation? Disobedient to the word of God. And it should come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do your good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither you go to possess it. I want you to see verse number 63. I didn't write it this morning. God wrote this. He said, I used to rejoice over you, Israel. Now I will rejoice to destroy you. You and I as believers in Christ, if we don't believe this, how can we expect the unbelievers to believe it? Today, they're at the golf courses. They're at the lakes. They're riding their motorcycles. They are watching the NASCAR races, at the horse races, gambling, whatever they are. The people in the backsliding condition centers are out there today. This is a day off. And they're out there doing their things. And they haven't understood that God is saying, I am calling this nation into judgment. This last week, they had about 3 or 4 earthquakes up in Nevada, located just outside Reno. And I read a headline, Reno, prepare for the big one. These are small shocks right now. But the scientists are predicting there'll be a big one that would devastate this city of Reno. Do you think that the gambling places are empty there today? No. Do you think that the people stop drinking? No. Do you think that the churches in Reno today are preaching and saying we've got to go out and we've got to pray and witness and seek the Lord and fast? No. Because we do not take God's word serious. And the Lord shall scatter you among all the people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall you sole or your foot to rest. But the Lord shall give you there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. There are 1 billion Muslims in the world. 1 billion Muslims in the world. And in the Quran, they simply say this, death to the infidels. Infidel mean non-Muslims. There are 1 billion Muslims. They're trying to be nice right now. But in their heart, their goal is to conquer America, to enslave us, to burn the churches, to build their mosques, and to put us to the sword. You don't believe that? Go to Nigeria. Go to Sudan. Go to different countries. Go to Pakistan. Go to Saudi Arabia. And you will find this hostility. In the morning, verse 67, you shall say with God it were even. And at even you shall say with God it were morning. For the fear of your heart, wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Look in verse 67. In the morning you shall say with God it were even. And the David shall say with God it were morning for the fear of your heart. Wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. If you today go to our mental hospitals, you go to our clinics, mental clinics, you will find there young people, middle-aged people, old people, fearful, drugged down, taking their drugs. In the morning they say, oh, I wish it was night, and at night, oh, I wish it was morning. There's no peace. Judgment of God. And God said, this is part of my judgment. And the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto you. You shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Did this happen to Israel? The answer is yes. History tells us. Archaeology tells us. It was fulfilled to the last word in this prophecy. Now turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 17. That's 2 Kings. You want to go to chapter 17. I want to ask you a question. Actually, I will make a statement here right now. I've been in the Sacramento area since 1975. We've been in California since 1969. If you go from the valley, Los Angeles, go up the inland valley, go to the coast, go north of us all the way up to Redding. You will find a wasteland. Young white men and women in the late 60s, early 70s, drugs sweeping in. Methamphetamine, or what they call it, speed, has simply destroyed the majority of white young people during that time. You can go to city after city right now, and you find them now in their 40s and 50s, no teeth, old looking, scurrying around like shadows, divorced, destroyed. They lost their inheritance. They lost the land. And today you find immigrants in just about every city. I myself as an immigrant. I'm not talking about anything I don't know about. And the immigrants, children, stayed off the drugs, did better. And today they own the stores. They own the factories, the businesses. While the white people, the Native Americans, the people in California are on welfare, stumbling around saying, what happened? Here's what happened. They left God 40, 50 years ago. And today, there's a judgment. Can it be reversed? Yes, with God's help, it can be. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17 now. And verse number 21 I'm going to read. This now is after Israel had been kicked out of the land. This is a result that was prophesied. Verse 21. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he has said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Today, Americans are carried out from our land, not physically, but financially. Look at the Midwest, the Rust Belt. Look upon the unemployment all over the place. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthas, from Arva, from Hamath, from Servim, and placed within the cities of Samaria, instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord set lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which you have removed and placed in the city of Samaria know not the man of God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them. And behold, they slay them, because they know not the man of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence. Let them go and dwell there. Let them teach them the man of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Commercialized. Let's get some religion in here. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own. Hello? Every nation made gods of their own. The Chinese got their gods in this country. The Indians got their gods and their temples. The Muslims got their temples. The Buddhists, Japanese, Every religion in this world has temples in America. And they are growing, getting bolder, demanding that since we are now a multicultural society, we got to take the Bible out of public school. We cannot have Jesus talked about in public places. You cannot have this. You cannot have that. Everything about Jesus can be taken out. It got to be so that every religion can feel at home in America. It never was that way. That's a judgment upon this nation. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own. Put them in the house of the high places which the Samaritans had made every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. You go to hospitals today, you will find that among many doctors are either Hindus, Buddhists, or something else. You don't find too many American doctors anymore. Wherever you go, these people have come and brought in their gods with a small g. And the men of Babylon made Succoth Benoth. And the men of Kuth made Nergal. And the men of Hamath made Arsheba. And the Evatite made Nibhas and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burnt the children of fire to Adrammelech. And Anam Melech, the gods of Sepharvaim. Verse 32 is a key verse. So they fear the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They didn't leave the God of Abraham, like Isaac of Jacob. They simply mixed in their own gods. They feared the Lord, served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. And to this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after the statutes, or after the ordinances, or after the law and commandment the Lord God commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant to charge them, saying, You shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice them. This is a judgment. Let me read to you now from the bottom of page 1. The 10 northern tribes were never allowed by God to rule their own land again. Let that sink in. If we lose our nation, we will never again get it back. It's over. There was no corporate redemption, but salvation is available through Jesus to each individual. God will not restore the earthly kingdom of Israel like it first existed from the time of King Saul unto the destruction of the northern and southern kingdom. The next unified kingdom of Israel would not come into existence until Jesus comes back and sets up the 1,000-year kingdom consisting of all born-again people. Turn your Bibles into Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Have you picked it up in the first 6 verses? You and I might just be that generation. It's getting closer and closer. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, an old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set the seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones that they had set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed the whole is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is what you and I have to look forward to. 1,000-year kingdom on this earth with Jesus reigning out of Jerusalem. Again, I read on my outline here. There is no special covenant for the 12 tribes of Israel. Each individual must have faith in the Messiah and repent. And without this, every Israelite would end up in hell and later in the fire, in the lake of fire. According to this book, and I really want you to think now, most men and women, boys and girls, from Adam and Eve to this day, were lost and are in hell. Few people here and there received Christ. There is no special covenant for the 12 tribes of Israel. Each individual must have faith in the Messiah and repent. You cannot come in on the faith of your parents. You cannot come in on the faith where you say, well, I'm a member of the church. Well, I was baptized as an infant. It's not in the Bible. Unless you are born again, if you die today, you will go to hell. Let me take you now to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, and we look upon the fourth chapter. The book of Acts 4:12. Powerful verse that we should know by heart, and time again we should tell people that. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. His name is Jesus. You cannot work for your salvation. You cannot pay for your salvation. You cannot light a lot of candles for salvation. You cannot do this or do that. There's only one place to come to the cross to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and to make Jesus Lord in your life. That is the only way into heaven. Period. I'm sorry. The Methodist Church is not going to bring in people into heaven. The Roman Catholic Church is not going to bring in people into heaven. Pentecostal Church is not going to bring people into heaven. It's an individual salvation, man to God, God to man. We are a church because we have been born again. And we are banding together, but the church is not saved. Now let me take you to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And that's going to be my closing scripture for today. And I want to talk about, this is very, very important, to be born again. Last week, I shared with you about two young women in Sacramento that died the night between Sunday and Monday. 3 weeks ago they died. And in the paper they, the mother had said, well, my daughter left home Friday night. Didn't tell where to go. I'm not going to speculate where she's been. The autopsy information came in this week. The driver of the car, this woman, they didn't die instantly. She died later. Her mother had to pull off life support. Her blood alcohol level was way up, which indicate that her and her friend had been drinking. And I'm thinking in my mind, they must have been with some men. Who were these men that spent the last week with two 20-year-old college girls? What did these men say when they woke up Saturday, Monday morning and saw in a paper that the women most likely had sex with Friday night and Saturday night were now at the morgue? What did they find? And I thought about this. Two young women, 20 years old, finished high school, good grades, first year in college, and their lives ended because they ended it. And now they're in hell, tormented, waiting for this day I'm going to read about. Knowing this, I lived 20 short years on this earth. Now I'm going to spend the next 10,000 years, 100,000 years, billions of years, forever and ever and ever in the burning lake of fire. Oh, God! They are screaming. But there's no mercy. I want you to hear that. Once you exit this earth, there is no mercy. Today, Jesus said, I love you, I will save you, I died for you, I will give you eternal life. But you reject him on this side of life. And on the other side, he will simply say, too little, too late. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things were written in their books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to hear this now. There will be books, and that one book, the book of life, is your name written today in the book of life. That's something you really want to ask yourself. No one can tell you. You know what you've done with Jesus. Because, you see, if you come down, and he says, the other books, you'll be judged according to what you have done, good or bad. You have done a lot of good deeds, some bad stuff. But if your name is not in the book of life, it doesn't matter what you've done. If you worked with orphans all your life, gave everything to the poor, if your name is not in this book, you will go to the lake of fire. Is that important? It is to me. Why do I preach like this? You know, I could draw a bigger crowd by talking about positive things, having a good time, how we can make more money, how we can have more social events. But you see, I believe in the Bible. And I know what's awaiting each person after death. God touched my heart. And I love people too much to let them go to eternal damnation. I want to make you mad at me. I want to have people scream and say, you know, I hate that John Terrell. He always talk about hell. Glory to God, yes. If that will bring you into the kingdom of God, in the next life you will meet me at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't have to say a word. When you come in there, you say, me, you're going to run up and hug me. And you're going to simply say this, thank you. Thank you for confronting me with the gospel. I received Christ. I was saved. Oh, thank you. I am going to be in heaven forever. Oh, praise the Lord. You understand that? Somebody loved me enough when I was a young man that they confronted me with the gospel. And I would want to do that when I see them in heaven. Some of them are gone by now. I want to go up and hug them and hold them and say, glory to God, thank you. You understand how much I care for you. That's the love of God. As you come to a close today, there are thousands of people listening to me by audio around the world. Some of you have not made a decision for Christ. You're not hostile to the gospel. But you have not made a commitment to Christ. You're like so many people today that are simply do not get married. They just live together. And so we love each other. And you know, we do care for one another. But you're not married. You never made a commitment. A lot of people say, oh, I love Jesus. But you haven't made a commitment. Would you today make a commitment before you leave this place? We could have an invitation here shortly. And if you're not here, would you simply stop your car if you can, or when you come home, you stop wherever you are and say, oh my God, I want to be born again. I don't know a whole lot, but this is what I know. I'm a sinner. I believe in you, God. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. You rose on the third day. I believe you took away my sins. And right now, Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. And be my Lord. And be my Savior. And write my name in a book of life. You pray that prayer, and your name will be written there, and you'll be safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Let's pray right now. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who is not saved in his room, that Father God, your Holy Spirit, would speak to them and say, don't leave. We're not asking anyone to join our church. We're just asking people to get married to Jesus and to be born again. Oh, God, let no one slip out of here that is not saved, Lord, and die and go into eternity without Christ. And I pray right now, Father God, for men and women, boys and girls around this globe and on every continent that are listening to my voice right now, that, Father, that they will drop everything they do and simply cry out, forgive me. Save me. Jesus, come into my life right now. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you right now for ministering right now as I pull back. It's you and the Holy Spirit and them. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are here, These chairs to my right, your left, these are all that you can come and kneel and pray if you want to rededicate your life or just pray for something, whatever it is. The elders are going to be up here right now. And if you want someone to pray with you or make sure that you are saved, they will pray with you. You don't have to join the church. If you are sick, you need a healing, whatever it is, you come and pray, and God will meet you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today. One that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner, and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, Find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 21st part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled Persecution. Pastor John had an outline prepared, but only got halfway through it as the Holy Spirit had him detail the persecutions of Christians in Jerusalem and compare it with previous persecutions in the history of the nation of Israel. Great emphasis was spent on the fact that God had repeatedly warned His people there would be severe judgment if they rebelled. Then the Holy Spirit spoke about the impending full-force judgment on the United States. We have already seen a number of limited judgments on our land, and unless people in America repent and turn to God, there will be a full judgment and many will die without Christ. The question remains, is your heart repentant or hardened after hearing this message? This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1131. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.